clock out.
Of Wildy and Tausch begins now.
It begins as Jair Alexander's season ends. Tausch, you heard me say this all kinds of times. Made some good points when I would say that in the absence of information, speculation fills the vacuum.
That's a good point.
So, when Jair Alexander has now undergone arthroscopic knee surgery to relieve swelling in his knee and is now done for the season, were we wrong for wondering what the hell's going on with Jair and why isn't he playing after he came back 2 weeks after injuring the knee to begin with and was on the field for 10 snaps until he said he couldn't go anymore? It didn't feel right. Was this mismanaged, both in a public forum and perhaps, as I asked Matt LaFleur yesterday, medically? Because do you look back and say, should have scoped him right away then? How do you view it?
It's a lot trickier than just saying, well, you should have had the surgery right away. It's always easy when people say, well, the surgery was successful. Da, 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 da. It's always great for everybody else to tell you about surgery, when you should and how you should go about doing it. I'm sure, Jair, when the injury first came up, you're always wanting to know every option you have to get back out on the field as quickly as possible and as safely as possible. And you don't want to just go to surgery. You can do all of these other things that will give you an opportunity to get back quicker. Now, there's sometimes it is, hey, you get this cleaned up and, you know, 3-4 weeks, you can get back out there. That's the goal. But you want to exhaust your opportunities. And I don't know anybody that's like, man, I just want to have that surgery. That's typically, unless it's an elective procedure.
Very fair.
Most people are going to try and steer clear of it. So I'm not going to sit here and say, well, they should have done this, they should have done that. But the communication part of this was just poor. And I get it from the Packers standpoint. You have to be very cautious. And it's not, as much as I joke around about HIPAA and everything else, you want to be very sensitive to players' health. You don't want people putting your business out on the street. You want to be very, but in today's day and age, with all of the stuff, and I'm talking gambling and information and people wondering, the interesting part to me was he was practicing 3 days a week. All of the other stuff, if you're hurt and you're hurt, you say, man, he just can't go. He's not ready. Easy. He's off with Nate. He's off with Flea. He's working. He's doing his best to get back out there. There just seems to be some miscommunication, or I don't know exactly how that's all shaking out, or if coaches are thinking one way and players thinking the other way. That happens. You know, that does happen. But this could have been a lot easier than done. Listen, man, and I think Jair got sick of it, and that's when he brought up that his PCL was tore. I think that was part of that tipping point. It would have been a lot easier if everybody just came out and said, man, he tore this. He's going to be out a while. We don't know. It's when you get, it was like with Rodgers with the collarbone. Well, he might be back this week. Just put him on IR and say he's done for this 6 weeks or whatever it is, and then we're going to reassess. You have to control the narrative, and you need to be in unison with your player. And that can't always happen because sometimes the player doesn't want to go down that road. And sometimes there's just unknowns. And I'm guessing what happened here is there was recommendations or thoughts of, hey, if you have this surgery, maybe this, maybe that. And maybe Jair also had someone else say, well, we think that you can, especially when you're talking about ligaments outside of the ACL, you're asking things to scar back in. I don't know the PCL. Like, I know you want to talk MCLs. I'll sit here and have a course with you. ACL, unfortunately, I can tell you all about it. PCL, I don't know if that's a scarring back in or what. So there's varying degrees, and it's different for every guy. And in that position, you can't go like Marco did, or I came back with an MCL after 1 week. You can go out and function because you're in a little smaller space. If I'm playing DB, first off, shame on you for putting me out there. But secondly, you have to be, you got to be 100% or you're going to get schooled. And all of those things factor into this. But yes, the communication and how it was handled, it could have been a lot better from both sides.
So this obviously begs the follow-up questions. One, how far can they go if they're not getting them back? There was a stat from Next Gen Stats. This, I don't know if you saw this. I know you're a big fan of my work, so maybe you read it in the story. But listen to these stats from NFL Next Gen Stats, okay?
Okay.
When Jaire Alexander was on the field this season, opposing teams completed 61% of their passes and had a 77.5 passer rating. When Jaire was not on the field, they had a 70.7% completion percentage and a 95.3 combined passer rating. That would seem to tell you there's a big difference between when he played and when he didn't. And I know the sample size is larger for the games in which he didn't, but that still is a pretty big difference. So what the two questions I think it begs. One, how far can they go without him? And two, will we ever see him in a Packers uniform again?
We will not see him in a Packers uniform again. I think at some point, you know, and again, I'll have to dig deeper into the capology of it. And I know there's plenty of guys, I know Ingles, and there's a lot of guys that really focus in on that I'll check their tweets to get a better understanding of it. But I would be shocked if he was. And as far as where you could go without him, I think this defense has done some really good things, but you saw it against a really good Minnesota offense. You don't have that dog. You have to put more resources to try and stop Jay Jets. And when you do that, Naylor comes out of nowhere, and you know he's got two tutters, and he's open over. It changes how you can play. And that makes it tough because you're not playing against the New Orleans Saints and bad teams. You're playing against teams that are good and will expose you in ways that these other teams won't. And that will be a three-game gamut that you have to run. And without Jaire, it just makes it that much more difficult. But I've said for the last month that if you're counting on Jaire, you're in a tough spot because the odds were this was how this was going to shake out. And unfortunately, that's how it played.
I want to talk a little bit more about whether or not he is done as a Packer.
What would you, Jason, what would you have advised? Let's say, you know, I'm trying to think. Wallers says, Jason, this didn't go well. This whole thing, we're sitting here, you guys are asking questions constantly. Would it have been good for Jason, for whoever, just to say, you know what, Jaire, just go out and have a five-minute conversation with where you're at? Because when Deepak did it, I think that quelled everything. What would you advise your good buddy Wallers on how to approach this?
Well, you make some good points, Mark. In fact, you just basically answered your own question, which I got once or twice over my career, by the way. Well, Jason, you just answered your own question. What do you want me to say? But you're right. The fact that Bakhtiari, it was the same deal, right? People were questioning whether he was willing to. There was the idea that he wasn't willing to play on AstroTurf or on artificial turf. No, but until he spoke, now he spoke for 45 minutes at his locker. We used an entire locker room where basically everyone was at his locker. Mm-hmm. So it was a dream locker room for, like, say, you. During your later parts of your career, no one would have tried to talk to you. We were all talking to Bakhtiari. But awesome. It clarified things. And what I would say to Jason Wallers, their VP of communications, or to any player or any PR person, is that I agree that putting timelines out there potentially are detrimental to the player, because then when he doesn't hit the timeline, people start questioning. But again, when you create a vacuum of information, I'm sorry, we live in a world where people assume the worst. And quite frankly, after the way last year went with Jaire, it was easy for them to assume the worst. because I think there were some legitimate questions about whether or not he could have been playing and playing through what he was dealing with last year. And if he would have been doing that for a team that he felt good about or a defensive coordinator he felt good about, right? I mean, the guy got suspended. Like, he was not a happy camper last year. We all agree on that, right?
No, he was not.
But he seemed to be a very happy camper this year. He liked Hafley better. He liked the strength and conditioning staff better. He liked Derek Ansley better. Like, he felt really good about where he was at. He came to the offseason program.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just to collect the check, because he had this, but he had the same check the previous year, and he didn't come.
Yeah, his football mortality finally got in check last year when he got suspended. I mean, that was a wake up, and to his credit, he didn't hit the snooze button.
Right. So when I look at this, I would have said, look, you need to talk. You need to explain what's going on. And it didn't help him that he did try to play in Chicago and then shut it down after 10 snaps and then was never seen again. That did not help.
Nope.
And it probably didn't help him with the coaches either, who were like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? Mm-hmm. So, again, they created a scenario that was not good for the player or for the team. So I do think that being more transparent would have been much smarter.
But agree.
It's over now. I do want to get to whether or not they mismanaged this. Matt LaFleur had an interesting answer to that. But I want to get further into whether or not he's done as a Packer. We'll talk a little bit about the cap ramifications. The arithmetic is relatively simple, so even I can handle that. We'll talk about that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So, Tausch, here's the math on the Jair Alexander contract via Spotrac. His base salary next year is $16 million. His cap number, if he's on the team, is $25 million. His dead cap number, if he's not on the team and they trade or release him, is $19 million. So 25 minus 19 means $6 million less against the cap if he's not on the team than if he is. Now, theoretically, I don't think Jair's coming back on a pay cut, so that's not probably an option. So it's either keep him at that number or move on from him. To me, your guy, the Gutenator, there's only two types of players that he has no interest in. Old players and injury-prone players. And Jair Alexander, the Green Bay Packers have played 68 regular season games since the start of the 2021 season. He's played in 34, and he's missed 34. I don't think Goody has any interest, even though the guy is his first-round pick. First pick Goody ever made as GM was Jair Alexander. I don't think Goody has any interest in carrying a $25 million injury-prone corner on the roster.
Agree. I don't know if I could put it any better. I think he appreciates his talent, and I don't even necessarily know if it's that. If Jair blew his knee out in week two, and he was kind of back in that, I think he flipped the script to his credit last year.
Now, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. If the salary and the implications were the same last year, do I think he comes back this year? Yeah, it was a much bigger cap hit. So you kind of balance those two things and try to figure out what the best thing for your team is. But there is no doubt Goody is about young players, ascending, hungry. And if you're going to be paid top dollar, you have to perform at that level. And if you're not, that's just the reality of the NFL. But when you factor that in along with this relationship, which, again, I don't know. I'm not privy to what they feel. I just watch and I listen, and it doesn't seem like it's in a great spot because of how this is all shaken out. You put all those things into the blender, I don't think you're getting a smoothie anybody wants to drink. So it's sometimes it's
best to
move it along. And, you know, you hope Jair is able to get healthy and play and do it. But I don't think it's going to be with Green Bay. And I think Jair's got to look long and hard about where he's at, because do I think he's going to get a Bonco deal? He ain't going to get a deal better than what he's got right there. It'll be incentive laden, because every other GM is looking at it saying, yeah, he's great talent when he's out there. 61% completion versus 70, according to Jason Wilde's State Journal article. Well, okay, that's great. But in that same article, you're going to hear the same thing you just said. 34 games played, 34 games missed. That's too big of a risk and without the reward with it. So it would be a heavy incentivized contract that I think he's going to end up getting. And I think it'll be in somewhere else. And I could see him going to a Detroit or a Minnesota if Detroit loses Carlton Davis, or if Minnesota loses one of their guys. That's just how this little that's how this little world works in the NFC, and especially a division that's as strong as the NFC North.
And by the way, if he stays healthy, I can see him playing very well, too.
Yeah.
No
doubt
about
it. He's still a good player. Now, is he the same dog that he was pre-Pittsburgh Steeler injury? He has not recovered fully from that. I just don't think he has. He was, and people
watch really good
film
point
and say,
by you.
You're crazy. He was physical.
He was.
Like, for a smaller
very
guy, he
willing.
Packed a punch, and he barked about it. He was the trendsetter in that group. And it just sucks because he took that injury, and he has not been the same. He has not been the same willing tackler that he was.
Understandably, to some degree.
He was everything you looked for in a corner. He had the attitude. He was ferocious. And you run at him, he was not scared at all to bring it. He would blitz. There was a point where he was, when I was pushing DePoy, he was playing as well as any corner in the league. And those days are gone, unfortunately.
They are. All right, I want to get to next. Now what? How do they manage to beat, and I'm not saying they can't play all four of these teams.
This sounds like a self-help book going into the new year.
A good chance.
Now what?
Rams, Eagles, Vikings, Lions. You know what they all have in common? They all have really good to great wide receiver tandems or trios. How do the Packers handle that gauntlet now that we know Jair ain't coming through that door? We'll talk about that coming up next. Want to remind you, if you've been injured, not while playing football for the Green Bay Packers, but in a serious accident. And I hope it never happens to you. But if you have been, there's one call to make. One call, that's all. Gruber Law Offices, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Check out the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more about the firm, about all the great lawyers that are there, and, of course, everything David does in all of our communities. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Is Eric Stokes good enough? Is Carrington Valentine good enough? Is it Kalen King time? Those are the questions we'll address next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
You're playing Carrington Valentine full-time, and you're playing, at some point, Eric Stokes, and then your safeties are obviously Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney. How do you feel about that group matching up with opposing wide receiver groups?
Not great, especially with the teams you're going to be playing. And as you were talking before the break, I started thinking, which wide receiving cores would you like Green Bay's over from the NFC standpoint? And it's tough sled now. There's some ballers, and it almost starts, because what happens is when you start getting these seven teams, everybody will look for commonalities. Oh, why is this team so successful? And I think the narrative you're going to hear, quarterbacks are always going to be key. We all know that. offensive lines, for all of us that know football, know you don't have a good group up front, you ain't going to be any good. Most of these teams, Philly's good, Minnesota's good, Detroit's good, Green Bay's good.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams, you could argue, you know, they've had a lot of injuries, et cetera, et cetera. But Tampa, they got Wirfs out there. He's a really good player. Wide receiving core, you're going to be tested in big ways. And I would argue Green Bay has passed those tests when they've played mediocre to average wide receiving cores.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen them go against Cincinnati, and I don't want to. Okay? We've seen them go against Minnesota. Not great, Bob. We've seen them go against Detroit. Mixed bag, right? It's kind of a mixed bag.
Gardettos, some might say.
The Rams, we haven't seen them, but I'm going to tell you this. I don't want to see Puka.
No, they didn't have to do it the first time. That's what made it better for them.
And, by the way, old boy still had a hell of a day. Kyren Williams had a big day running, but they had a big day against us. It's not like that was one game where we had to outscore them, right? So I don't feel great. I mean, obviously, anybody that takes their number one corner and is not available to them, you're going to see kind of the ratcheting down of where your talent's going to be able to take you. And if I'm an opposing team without Jair, I'm looking at it saying, don't let Xavier McKinney ruin it. We're going to kind of be able to do what we want to do, and especially with a pass rush that has not been great against good old lines. So it's a big concern, if you want my honest opinion. And those stats that you put in your article today kind of lay that out.
Tell me if I'm a little bit of a Palmer here. The history of the Green Bay Packers has some outstanding seventh-round picks who became really good players. Adam Timmerman, Donald Driver. I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head, but I know there's another one.
I think Johnny Jolly, I believe, was a sixth.
No, he was he was a sixth.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm joking because you were a seventh-round pick who had an 11-year NFL career, so you are another one.
Will Day and Tosh.
Could...
my dog. That's
could
my
Carrington Valentine someday join your group, your little fraternity of seventh-round picks who turned out to be really, really good football players?
He's an interesting case study here because he played last year really good football.
Started 14 games.
Everybody was pretty happy with where he was at, and I think he got lumped in with Ballantyne, and I still kind of run into it. I'm like, is that Ballantyne or Valentine?
Yeah,
because they had that whole law firm bit going. And But he was hurt for a good chunk of this season, right?
Yeah.
And then he had a ton of opportunities, and they're trying to figure it out. He made a hell of a play. Was that 2 weeks ago? Last week? I don't remember.
Seattle. He had a pick in Seattle where he fell off his guy. And then he obviously had the pick on Sunday again.
Last week. Yes. To answer your question, and you were talking about Kalen King. If you're expecting Kalen King to be a big performer in this, that's the type of thing you need for this magical run. You need someone to emerge. A Starks in 2010. Mm-hmm. Kind of really was in the weeds and nobody was really talking about him. And then all of a sudden, bam, emerge and you go. And if with no Jair, you might need someone like that. But I think Valentine has proven to be a really good football player and is only getting more and more confident now that his health has kind of gotten to where he can do what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to get opportunities to keep showing the rest of the league that he is that guy. So I don't think you're crazy at all to be pomming it. I think he is a really good football player.
Do they have enough of them? That's the question. In fairness to Keyshawn Nixon, I'm not saying that he's Jair Alexander. He's not. He made a hell of a play to break up that ball in the end zone to Jordan Addison in the game on Sunday. He recovered really well and made a really good play on that. Can he be a shutdown corner? I don't know, Jim. What I do know is they don't have a lot of margin for error. Because if Eric Stokes is playing a lot, and Eric Stokes has played better of late, give credit where credit is due. He has. He still hasn't broken the streak. Very close. Got his hands on that overthrow. I thought the official scorer was going to give him a PBU. He ultimately did not. And then there was the overthrow to Addison that if he'd have gotten a hand on it, he might have gotten a PBU. But the streak remains intact. But guys aren't catching balls on him as frequently. So if he plays fine and Carrington Valentine plays well and Keyshawn Nixon plays well, they're okay. But they're like one more injury away from Valentine.
What do you mean okay, though? Is okay going to stop A.J. Brown and Smith?
Well, again, I don't know. Like, is Keyshawn Nixon at a point where they'd be willing to travel him? Like, is he that good?
I don't know.
And Jeff Hafley's not going to tell me when I ask him that tomorrow or today. But maybe. But if you get Eric Stokes matched up on Puka Nacua, I like Puka Nacua's chances, or I like A.J. Brown's chances, or I like Justin Jefferson's chances, right? So we'll see if they've got enough in the back end to cover these really good wide receiving groups. All right. We need to play trivia. Now, Jesse.
What are we doing, eight-person trivia today, or what are we doing today?
That was exactly going to be my question. So good point by you. How many contestants are we having play today? 16? Or is it like the college football playoff? We want 12, and that's still too many.
Very positive feedback on the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line the other day from the.
It wasn't the Carbless talk and text
line yet,
though. It
wasn't even Carbless then. Carbless is today.
Well, it is now the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. And as I review it today, because it was so great to see the positive feedback, I scrolled back, and now it's the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. And I appreciate all the kind words. Wow, that was fun doing year in review trivia on Tuesday. So we did four contestants on that day. So just one contestant needed today, and then that'll be it for trivia for the week. So no trivia tomorrow.
And even though it's not Wednesday, we're doing Wisconsin geography.
Well, it's the first trivia of 2025. I know Tausch would want to start it only one way. And it's with Wisconsin geography.
Especially since he doesn't then have to ask any of the questions.
Exactly.
All right.
Win-win.
There it is. It is 2025. So Jesse wants to celebrate the new year. So caller 25 for Will Tausch trivia. Caller 25, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We shall play trivia next. It's Will Tausch.
Something special is brewing at ESPN Madison.
Swing and a fly ball to left, to the wall.
You're listening to Madison's new home of the Milwaukee Brewers, 100.5 ESPN.
Time for trivia. Let's welcome in our contestant. It's our old friend.
Offer.
Jerry in the Prairie.
Offer.
Tausch has now decided to lean back in his chair and enjoy a cup of mud in his parlor. As I do trivia. Jerry, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Doing good. Happy New Year's, guys.
Happy New Year
Happy
to you
New
as
Year,
well.
Chair.
Great to have you as our first contestant of 2025. Let's see if we can get the year off to a good start with a bunch of correct answers. In Wisconsin geography, Wednesday on a Thursday trivia. Question number one, Jerry, is this. And by the way, Jesse, did you do these yourself or did you delegate them, farm them out?
I'm batting leadoff in 2025, and we'll see how it goes.
And then you won't bat again.
330 trivia category days the rest of the year might be farmed out, but I'm getting number one.
All right, here it is, Jerry. Which of these Wisconsin cities ranked third on a 2024 list from research firm Smart Asset, ranking the most livable small cities in the United States? Was it Eau Claire, Beloit, or Auburndale?
Oh boy, I have no idea. Let's go Beloit.
A strong start to 2025. It is also not Auburndale. The correct answer, Eau Claire. Eau Claire, very lovely place.
Yeah,
Eau Claire, very,
nice
very livable. Yeah. One for none. All right, question two. Jerry, is this latitudinally? Which of these Wisconsin cities is located farthest south? Farthest south. Is it Sturtevant, Stevens Point, or Stockbridge?
Ooh. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't even heard of two of those.
I don't have any clue on
You've
this.
You've never heard of Stevens Point?
I've heard of Stevens Point. I haven't heard of the other two.
Part of the potato corridor.
All right. Sturtevant, Stevens Point, or Stockbridge.
Sounds like Jerry's got to travel the state a little more.
Sax.
Right.
Sax.
Let's go with C.
Stockbridge is also wrong.
All right.
Oh, boy.
This is great.
Can we go the whole year without Good getting start. It right?
That's Sturtevant. So far, we're 0 for 2025. No pressure on you, Jerry, at all, but
we're going to try to keep her perfect.
See if we could Tausch it.
You didn't know that either, Tausch?
No. I don't know where Stockbridge is. Where is it?
Neither does Jesse.
No, it's Fox Valley area.
Well, that's on level par with Stevens Point, then, if you look at, because Highway 10 runs you right to it.
Yeah.
That goes east or west.
Sturtevant's down by Racine, so Sturtevant's very clearly the answer compared to the other two.
Okay.
All right, Jerry.
Great job.
Question All three. Right. Tausch is enjoying one of his favorite drives on Highway 33. If he's starting in Beaver Dam and heading east to Saukville, which of these cities would Tausch pass through first?
Ooh.
This sounds super easy.
I think I'll know this one.
All right.
I don't think Jerry will.
East from Beaver Dam. The gauntlet has now been thrown down on you, Jerry.
I would have known the other direction better.
Yeah, it's true.
Portage, Reedsburg.
Dam to Saukville. Are you crossing first Allenton, Newburgh, or Horicon?
Ooh.
Oh, boy. Well, I know Horicon's in that area. I'm not sure if 33 goes through it, though. Let's try Horicon.
Tausch, agree or disagree?
I know Newburgh is on that way. I just don't know. I'm going to say Jerry's wrong.
One of you is... Well, you didn't even pick an answer now. Are you going with Newburgh or not?
I'm going with Jerry being wrong.
Your choices are Allenton, Newburgh, Horicon, or Jerry is wrong.
Jerry is wrong, final answer.
The correct answer is Horicon. Jerry is right.
Attaboy, right. Jerry.
Jerry's eating right. rice.
I thought Horicon was off of 26. Is it not?
No, it's Highway 33, straight through downtown Horicon.
Attaboy.
Jerry, way to save the year.
Yeah.
You are 1 for 3. You got 2 entries into the drawing. I don't remember how those 17 contestants that we had earlier in this week fared.
Not great, I don't think.
It was a mixed bag.
Jesse, you stole my line. A mixed bag for all involved. You got 2 entries into the drawing tomorrow. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you a lot.
Thanks. Love you guys.
I love you.
We
guys.
Love you. We love Jerry.
You know, we love Jerry, we love trivia, we love the state of Wisconsin, and Tausch loves a good Tito's.
Indeed, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Tito's Handmade Vodka. Yeah, pour me in, Coach. Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's original craft vodka, distilled from corn, and it is gluten-free. So for everybody that's given up gluten For New Year's, Tito's is your drink. Visit us at titosvodka.com for recipes, videos, and more. This is distilled in Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume, crafted to be savored responsibly.
We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. We are not headed to Ireland. I was about to say Israel.
Wondering where not I was playing going in Israel. There.
A lot of blanks
could have been filled in.
They are possibly headed to Ireland. We'll get to that. Plus, want to talk a little bit more about how the Packers stopped their spiral last season, because the Bears could learn a thing or two from it. That's all still ahead during the 11 o'clock hour, which starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.